All right, working moms, let's get super practical today as we talk about 7 strategies to prevent burnout. As an ambitious working mom, burnout and exhaustion, they come easily, right? Your brain is hardwired to want to do more, achieve more, cross more things off your list. It's a part of who you are, and it is what makes you successful, but it is also what is causing burnout. Now, the most natural thing for you to do is to achieve more, not to rest. Resting, prioritizing yourself, your family, choosing to do fun and spontaneous things instead of working more, this kind of a life requires intentionality and effort. It requires you to do things that don't come naturally to you, that are likely going to feel a bit uncomfortable, but they're going to give you the ambitious and balanced life that you want. In today's episode, I'm sharing with you 7 very practical things that you can do to help you prioritize rest instead of doing more, fun instead of logging back on. If you see yourself headed down a path towards exhaustion and burnout, these 7 strategies are for you. Are you ready? Let's get to it. Welcome to the Ambitious and Balanced Working Mom Podcast, the place for women who want to balance their ambitious career goals with their life as a mom. If you're looking to feel more confident, decisive, and productive at both work and home, then this is the place for you. I'm your host, Rebecca Olson. Let's get to it. All right. Hello, my friends. The topic of exhaustion has come up multiple times for my clients. It's come up with my potential clients a bunch lately. And so I wanted to address this on the podcast. Exhaustion has a lot of similarities to burnout. And so I'm going to talk about those 2 things sort of interchangeably on this podcast, because I know that a lot of women don't want to admit that they are on the edge of burnout, but they can probably self-identify as being exhausted. And the state of exhaustion is so easy for us to get to as ambitious working moms who have a lot of demands, a lot of stress, a lot of expectations at work that they're managing, and then expectations in their house and with their kids. And as a parent, there's a lot going on for ambitious moms, and burning out is easy to do unless you are super diligent and committed to not living in a state of exhaustion. So today I want to offer to you 7 practices that are going to really help you prevent exhaustion and burnout. Think of this like a wellness check, right? You go to the doctor for a wellness check, for a routine examination. You take your children to the doctor for routine examinations. And so we all understand this idea that a wellness check is meant to get ahead of potential problems or future problems that may show up. It's preventative. And so these 7 practices that I'm going to talk about today on this podcast, they're preventative. They are meant to ward off exhaustion, to make sure that burnout doesn't happen for you. The first preventative practice that I want to talk about is to schedule white space. Now, I talk about this concept on the podcast a lot. Simply put, white space is unplanned time. It's time when you don't have something that you intend to do with that time. Because what I see a lot of ambitious do is their schedule is just packed from the moment they get up, right, all the way to the evening. Literally, if you look at their calendar, it looks like chunks of time back to back to back to back from wake up until they close their eyes. Imagine staring at a calendar that looks like that. Just literally close your eyes for a moment. You probably have one of these calendars, or at least a day like this that you can understand. Imagine that day where you see from sun up to sundown, your entire schedule is blocked out. How does that make you feel? For me, the sense of like anxiety, right? It starts right in my belly and it moves all the way up to my heart. My mind is like immediately saying, oh my gosh, I have like way too much going on. I recently had a conversation with a client who really wants to take control of her time. That's the way she says it. I want to control my time, my schedule. Everything feels so rigid, so planned. There's like no room for adventure, for fun. And there can't be if you are scheduled from morning till night, right? There's no time in there to play a game or to say yes to joining your kids while they're doing Legos or an art project. In an overly scheduled life, there's no time for spontaneity, for presence. The problem I often hear from my clients when they have this pockets of unplanned time, whether they've scheduled them or it just happens to them, which I know is so rare for most of us, is they say, I don't know what to do with them. I just end up logging back on and working more or cleaning my house or scrolling Facebook. And I totally hear from you. I understand that. I have been, am at times still one of those people. And I remember just even a couple of weeks ago, like I had a bunch of things that I needed to get done in our house because we are still living in chaos in this new house that we bought. But I hadn't planned anything specific to do. I had a moment where I decided, rather than organizing something, which I could have done countless things to organize this house, or even scrolling Amazon to buy the cabinet organizer that I know I need, instead of doing any of that, because I hadn't really committed to anything in particular, I decided to read a magazine. It felt luxurious to literally sit in a house of chaos and decide, you know what? I control my time. And so I'm just going to read this magazine. Now, it was only 15 minutes, but I had this sense of control. It was almost like I got to say, I don't have to be productive if I don't want to. Unplanned time or white space in your calendar, it's meant for you to be able to decide without any restriction what you want to do. Now, you might be the kind of person that needs a list of things that you would do during that time. That's okay. Read a magazine or a book, take a bath, paint your nails, bake cookies with your kids, play a game, go for a walk, call your best friend, cook a good meal, do a puzzle. You could create for yourself almost this menu of options to choose from that you might do during these unplanned times. It's going to give you the opportunity to say yes to spontaneity. Going out for ice cream with your kids after school, saying yes to an invitation for a glass of wine or a coffee with a friend. These are things that I know all of you would like to do, and you know that they would be good for you, but there's just no time. There's no space in your calendar. There's no room for them. So when you have white space blocked in your calendar, you then have this ability to sort of juggle things around because everything isn't so back to back to back to back that you could change things up a little bit and say yes to those spontaneous invitations. So preventative practice number one is scheduling in unplanned time. Now, it might sound counterproductive to you to block out unplanned time in your calendar, but come on, you know yourself, you will always schedule something in when given the opportunity. So for me, I have a couple of nights a week that are unplanned, and sometimes even a weekend or at least a weekend day. And if that seems completely unrealistic for you, just start with a chunk of time that you're going to practice holding to. A chunk of time, couple of hours, ideally 15 minutes if it's just to read a magazine, that you're going to protect as unplanned spontaneous time. So that's preventative practice number one, scheduling in unplanned time, or what I like to call it, white space. Now, if this first practice was about giving some space or giving room in your calendar, the second preventative practice is about giving yourself space and room in your head. Remember, exhaustion, it's physical and mental burnout. That's literally the definition of it. So when you are experiencing or you're on the verge of burnout, it's not that your body just feels tired. Probably more importantly, it's your mind that feels tired. Now, I could make an argument for you that exhaustion and burnout is almost always in your head. It is your brain, it's your mind that can't handle one thing. You can't think about or strategize or solve one more thing, right? Your brain needs space. And by giving yourself some unplanned time during your week, you're going to help your brain find some space. But there's a lot more things that you can do actively to give your mind space. On this podcast, I call it defragging. Your brain is sort of reordering priorities and memories and thoughts and giving it some structure. That's essentially what defragging is when you defrag your computer. You're reordering the memory, the priorities, the files in such a way that your computer runs more efficiently. So same concept, just in your mind. An image I like to use with my clients is like a shepherd and their sheep. Your thoughts that you're holding in your head, all these thoughts, they're like sheep. And sheep are not known for being the most intelligent animal. They tend to wander aimlessly without a whole lot of direction and are very easily excitable and scared. So if one sheep gets scared and starts running in one direction, sort of all the sheep will, even if they have no idea why they're running or where they're headed and what's going on. So when you give your mind space, you become the shepherd. You start taking all of your thoughts, all of your priorities, all of your worries, and all of your anxieties that are sort of wandering around up there in your mind, and you start shepherding them. You start calling them back to safety in your sheep pen. But your brain's most natural state to be is more like a sheep, to be wandering around aimlessly without any direction, easily excitable or anxious. It actually takes conscious effort to become the shepherd that can then separate yourself from the sheep or from your thoughts in order to bring some order and some perspective. So giving your mind space to become the shepherd so that you can look at all of those thoughts and think about them more objectively and give some order, give some truth to it, that takes some intentionality. And there's lots of ways to do it. But the key in what you're doing is getting out of your head all of the things that you're thinking about, all of the worries, all of your priorities, all of your anxieties. You're getting out of your head so that you can look at all of those thoughts with a really clear vision. One of my favorite practices, and I've talked about this practice on the podcast before, I believe it was in an episode where I was talking about having a really stressful day. And when you have a really stressful or anxious day, all of your sheep are everywhere. Your thoughts are everywhere. Everything is scattered about. Nothing feels orderly in your head. It all feels stressful. And I remember this episode, I talked about how you can get your mind back in order, right? Essentially become the shepherd of all of those thoughts and start to bring in all of the anxiety and the emotion, start to control it a little bit. I'm going to go back and look up what the episode was and put it in the show notes because I think it's a really important one. But I call it a thought download. It's literally a time where you write down or say out loud everything going on in your head exactly as it sounds in your head. You're literally downloading it from your mind onto paper or out loud. That's the most important part of this exercise, is that you're not editing your thoughts and your worries and your anxieties. You're saying them just as they are, because it's amazing how much less power your thoughts and your anxieties have when they're not caught up here in your mind. All of a sudden, you have an ability to see what you're thinking about, see what you're worrying about, and say, oh my gosh, that's silly. Your shepherd immediately sees it and looks at the thoughts and anxieties and worries, and they're like, well, that's not worth being anxious about. I can't even control that, right? And then it drops it all together, at least some of them, right? Gives you control over some of those thoughts and those worries and those anxieties. If you are a journaler, that's another way to give your mind some space and create some order, just getting those thoughts out on paper. If you meditate, that's another way. I actually have a tool that I give my clients that offers them 10 different ways to create brain space, if you will. And we practice those over the course of our 6 months of coaching together. But to be honest, the thought download, I think it's the easiest, most simplest one, and it's my personal go-to. So obviously you can do this when you're in a high state of anxiety or worry, but remember, we're talking about preventative exhaustion, which means you're doing it on a regular cadence. Now, my favorite time to do this thought download is just when I start my workday, where I write all the things down that I'm thinking about for the day, all the things that are coming up, all the things that I'm worried about or stressed about. And then right at the end of my workday is another time, or sometimes for my clients, they like to do it right before bedtime, where I can write out all of my thoughts and my feelings that I had about my day. For me, one of the things that sort of gets in the way of this exercise, or kind of makes me stuck, is it feels like I don't have time to do this. Like, I should be doing more with this exercise on some way. If you gave yourself 30 minutes to write, you probably would write for 30 minutes. There's plenty of things to write about, but it doesn't have to take a whole lot of time. You could set a timer for 5 minutes and just write as many things as you could write down in that time, and then you're done. That's enough time for you to step into that shepherd mindset and really shepherd all of those anxieties and thoughts and let those lose power. So I hope that image of shepherding is really powerful for you. It makes sense to you and what you're doing here in this second practice. The third preventative practice that I want to offer to you is to decide when you are not going to work. Because as ambitious working moms, there is always more to do, right? And your brain is always going to want to offer you, you should be doing more, whether that's in your job or in your life or in your home. The to-do list is always long. There's always something that can be done, and your brain is going to want to tell you to do it. And if you don't have committed time on your calendar, which is likely time at night or time over the weekend, your brain is going to want to fill that time with more productivity. That's how an ambitious person is hardwired. So you actually have to put in effort to not work. I was having a conversation with one of my clients this past week who casually mentioned to me that she was logging on after her kids were going to sleep. She was like mentioning it in relation to like another story that she was telling me. And when she was done with her story, I was like, hold on. Let's go back for a moment. Why did you decide to log on after your kids went to sleep? And I remember there was this like long pause where she was considering the question because in her mind, that was just what she did, right? Oftentimes, she just log on. She didn't get everything done for the day. And so she didn't have anything else planned that night. And so she logged on to get more things done. And so as we started to talk about the effects of her doing that, she was able to clearly see how logging back on was preventing her brain from actually resting. It was impeding on her sleep time because inevitably she would work later into the evenings, much later than she wanted to. And then that would impede upon her sleep. And then it would affect her morning. And this is something that has to come up when we start talking about creating sustainable work-life balance in your life. Because if you want to learn how to be more productive and efficient in your workday so that you have less urge to log back on and work in the evenings, you actually have to commit to working less time so that your brain can figure it out, which means you actually have to commit to not working in the evenings so that you can problem solve for how to get more done in your workday. I have a lot of women that think it's the other way around. That's generally speaking how we think. If I could get more done in my workday, then I won't work at night. No. The commitment is to not work at night, and then you will figure out how to get more done in your workday. I have never met a working mom that dreams of a life where they work 60 hours a week or even 50 hours a week. Nobody wants a life like that. What you dream of is having a fulfilling career and being super successful and balancing that with a personal life that feels fun and connected and adventurous and restful. But you will not create that life until you commit to your time off. You must decide when you are going to work and when you are not. And you have to write it down. You need to put it in your calendar. Find someone to keep you accountable, because the solution to getting more done and feeling less anxious and not having so much exhaustion and being on the edge of burnout is not working more hours. That is not the compromise that you can make. So strategy number three is to schedule and commit to non-working times during your day and during your weeks. Now, strategy number four sort of goes hand in hand with the last one, but it would be better for you to look at your to-do list for the day or for the week or the month, however you organize yourself, and decide very consciously and strategically what you are not going to accomplish simply because you don't have the time or it's not the priority in comparison to everything else that you have going on. It's better for you to do that than to think to yourself you're going to try to get everything done, even though you know it's totally impossible. Because inevitably, what's going to happen is that you are not going to get everything done, as suspected, because there's just simply not time to get your entire to-do list done. Not only do you not have the time, you probably don't have the energy to do that all. And then when you don't get it done, you feel bad, and your brain thinks that you should have worked harder and that you should have worked more hours and you should have gotten more things done. And then you feel guilty and you feel inadequate and you feel not enough. And it's a whole host of feelings. No, you need to powerfully and strategically decide what it is you are not going to get done and simply remove it from your list. Have no expectation of getting it done. No secret agenda that you might get it done. I remember a conversation I had with a client that was feeling very overwhelmed at the beginning of her workday because there was just so many things to get done on her list, so many things that felt urgent and important. She didn't know how she was going to get it all done. And I told her the solution was really simple. Don't think that you will. Decide what you're not going to get done every single day. Look at your list, select three priorities for your day, and cross everything else out. Have no other expectation. This forces you to focus. It forces you to think truly about what's most important every day in your life. And in many ways, the opposite of a burned out or exhausted life is a life that you feel in control of, where everything feels chosen and clear, that there's not all of these competing priorities that you're constantly thinking you're going to get all of it done. It's just that you have strategically decided what you will be doing and where you will be focusing your time and your energy and where you will not. Preventative strategy number four is to decide what you are not going to get done today. Preventative strategy number five, very simple, sleep. There is literally thousands of studies around the importance of sleep. We all know them. We all know getting enough sleep changes everything. We can all relate because we're all working moms and have kids. We all know what it means to be sleep deprived, right? And to have a newborn baby. It's extremely difficult to be productive and to do life when you're in a state of constant sleep deprivation. For a lot of working moms, they're putting themselves in that state of sleep deprivation on an almost conscious level. You are choosing to not make sleep a priority. Now, one of my past clients, it was getting pretty bad for her lack of sleep. And even though she knew, like she could articulate to me how important her sleep was, and she could see it for herself, the days that she got herself to bed on time, she could see how dramatically different it was. Still, it was exponentially difficult for her to prioritize sleep because getting one more thing done, meeting the demands of work, making sure everybody was taken care of, that felt so compelling to her that she was willing to sacrifice her health, her presence, and then really until she got very sick and her body said, no more. When your body gets sick because of a lack of sleep, that's you being burned out. That's you being exhausted. And when she got well, she was able to think very clearly and actually see that she could get so much more done if she just slept. Her days were so much more productive. Her brain was less foggy. She made clear, more decisive decisions. Even though she didn't quite get as much done as she wanted to, the things that she was doing, they were infinitely better, which then helped her feel more productive, more successful, which had a domino effect. It made her feel more worthy of her position, more confident, so many more things. If you are someone that is compromising your sleep regularly, you know you need to be operating differently and prioritizing your sleep more. I want to offer to you two things. One, I want you to sit down and write a commitment to yourself on why you want to prioritize your sleep. Because the point is to make an argument to your brain on why this is actually the most important thing that you could do. Why it's more important than getting one more thing done at work or accomplishing a task at home or even staying up late to watch Netflix. I want you to feel in your body that commitment to sleep and the benefits of you doing it. So that's the first thing that you need to do. The second thing is actually something that you know how to do with your kids. It's just something we're translating for you as an adult, which is to come up with a good sleep routine. You could Google search that, lots of ways to do sleep routines as adult. But if you think about it in the way you did it with your kids, the reason you did that is because you were help giving their body cues that it's time to fall asleep. And then they would fall asleep faster. A bath or white noise, reading to them, stroking, all of these are cues to your brain that it's time to go to bed. You need to get enough sleep. And you know that you'll be getting enough sleep when you wake up fairly regularly, feeling rested, feeling ready to go, having energy for your day. Preventative strategy number 6 is to schedule time for yourself and your family. Now, this sort of feels like a no-brainer, right? Because on some level, it just feels like something you should be doing. The workouts, the date nights, the adventures with your family, the vacations. These are things that we feel like we should naturally be prioritizing and doing. And yet, as ambitious women, we forget. We get so wrapped up in being productive and meeting goals and doing work that it's not the natural thing for us to do. We have to force it. Now, if you hear me say that and you think to yourself, yeah, but shouldn't I want to spend that time with my family? Like, shouldn't I just naturally be prioritizing myself and my family and my kids and vacations and all these things? And the answer is no, because being ambitious means that you have a brain that is wired to do more. You have a high capacity to achieve. You actually really enjoy that. That's not a problem. But what it means is that you have to put more effort into doing things outside of being productive. So in your calendar, there should be time for yourself and time for your family. Now, my time for myself is in the morning. I'm pretty good about getting myself up around 5:45. I know not everybody is like that, but I'm sort of hardwired to get up early. It's pretty easy for me to do. I've done it a good portion of my life. I have about 40 minutes. I do about 10 minutes of yoga. I make tea. I sit down with my journal, my Bible. Sometimes I pray. Sometimes I meditate. Sometimes I listen to my affirmations app. And then when my kids get up, which is sometimes earlier than I want them to, they sometimes interrupt me. I'll send them back to bed. They know that this is my time. It's not our time as parent and kids. It's my time. It's very regular for them to come out and me to send them away. That's okay. That's like an established routine at this time. But maybe for you, this time is in the evening, or maybe it's at lunch, taking a lunch break, or maybe it's just a couple of nights a week, a chunk of time. Maybe it's a time on the weekend. There's no right or wrong way to do this, but you need to have planned and committed time for yourself, and then planned and committed time to your family. Family time is important, obviously, because it helps you kind of quiet that part of your brain that's telling you you're not a good mom because you work so much, because you're so focused on work goals, whether those are your paid work or even your unpaid work in your family time, right? There's this little voice in your head that's constantly telling you you should be spending more time with your kids. And so when your brain sees time on your calendar that's committed to your family, it's able to quiet down a little bit. That could be adventures to the zoo, or it could just be going out to dinner at a restaurant or a family movie time, or ordering pizza in and playing a game. But there needs to be a commitment, a time in your calendar where you are devoted to your family. That could even be bedtime for that matter. You could just plan that you're going to have uninterrupted time with your kids for 30 minutes, 40 minutes before you go to bed and as you put them to bed. Your brain needs to know that you're prioritizing your family, that in the order of priorities, they're at the top. It needs to be clear. And the best way to do that is to have a committed time. And I like to think of committed times as being actual times in my calendar. That's how you know that you're going to get it done. Okay, so that's number six. Now, the last preventative strategy I want to offer to you is to have a plan when you don't want to follow through with any of these commitments. When you have the urge to log back on at night, even though you've committed to not working, or when you have the urge to cancel your workout or your yoga time or your time with your friends because you need more time to work, when you simply don't want to follow through with the commitment that you've made, you need a plan because it's going to happen. No question. Your brain is hardwired to want to get more done. It's ambitious. It's a part of what makes you successful. And it also prevents you from feeling balanced. So your brain is not going to want to change these old habits. It's going to want to continue to prioritize work. It's going to want to work later into the evenings and not prioritize sleep. It's going to want to not schedule your doctor's appointments or your yoga classes or even your vacations. It's going to want to compromise on all of those commitments. And what are you going to do in that moment? How are you going to push through so that you follow through with that commitment? To be honest, this is the heart of the work that I do in coaching. I help ambitious moms get clear on their priorities and their commitments, both in their day-to-day life and the long term, so that their brain knows exactly the kind of life that they want to be living, that regret-free life that they want for themselves, right? We define that, and then we spend a good amount of majority of our time really learning how to overcome the urges to prioritize differently. We spend time learning how to overcome the urge to say yes to someone because we don't want them to be disappointed. We spend time learning how to overcome the urge or the habit of spending late nights working and learning how to feel uncomfortable when you decide to log off, even though you got a lot of more things you need to get done, and just letting that be okay. I call this the implementation stage of coaching. And it's one of the reasons why I work with my clients for 6 months, because we need time for you to, one, get clear and confident in yourself and the life that you want to create. And then two, we need time to implement all of that. Because just because you decide you want something, just because you want to change a particular habit, just because you want to reprioritize in a different way, just because you want to leave work at a certain time, just because you don't want to log on, just because you want to make sure you're leaving time for your family, just because you know that and you name it, doesn't mean that you're actually going to do it. The follow through is everything. And one of the things that I do with my clients is we come up with a protocol for exactly how you're going to handle that moment when you don't want to follow through, whatever the thing is that you're committed to. When you really want to just work through your lunch because the day has not gone according to plan, even though you've committed to taking a walk just for yourself. When you really want to spend an extra 30 minutes or 60 minutes at work, even though you actually want to go home and just be with your family. When you really want to check email at night, even though you committed to not being connected and to being intimate with your husband and not logging back on. When you have that urge to just want to stay available to your team, even while you're on vacation, even though what you really want is to just rest and be completely disconnected. That's the pivotal moment. And we need a plan for it. How are you going to handle the urges, the feelings that come up in these moments? If you want me to walk you through that process to teach you how to be someone that follows through, to be someone that prioritizes yourself and your family instead of work, so you're no longer exhausted, no longer on the edge of burnout, that is where coaching comes in. This could be the year where you learn how to have the regret-free life that you really want, not just to get clear on what it is and what's important to you, but to actually have the tools to do it, where you feel empowered, where your calendar feels controlled, where everything in your calendar feels clear, you feel connected and committed to doing it, where you have learned how to rest and have fun and be successful all at the same time. That's what we do in coaching. If that's you, if this is your year where you want to learn that, reach out, schedule your free breakthrough call. If you're interested in talking to me about it, I would love to connect with you about coaching, talk you through the entire process and decide if this is it, this is your solution, and then go all in with you. All right, working moms, I hope these 7 strategies have been helpful to you in preventing exhaustion and burnout. Don't forget to watch this podcast on YouTube. There will be a link in the show notes on exactly how to subscribe to my YouTube channel so you get this podcast weekly. You could see my new office that I'm in and how it's decorated. Working moms, I love it. I love supporting you. Please be sure to follow me. And until next week, let's get to it. Hey, before you go, I want to take a moment and tell you about an opportunity to speak with me directly. If you've been listening to this podcast and still feel like you need help balancing a fulfilling career with motherhood, then I encourage you to schedule a free breakthrough call. On this call, we will get crystal clear on exactly what it is you want out of your career and how you want to balance that with motherhood. And then we'll craft next steps for you to start moving toward a more calm and fulfilling working mom life. Head over to www.RebeccaOlsonCoaching.com/book to apply for this free call. Till next week, and working moms, let's get to it.